In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Find it very strange. The Bible speaks about Jesus, the Son of God, and says that Jesus was tempted by the devil. Not only that, but the Bible actually writes down the details of the temptation and how he was tempted. Find that very hard. It's exactly like me coming here in a church and telling you, let me share with you how I was tempted last week. And I start to tell you about the temptations that was in my life. Sometimes I'm tempted to tell you about my temptation, but I don't give in to that. But a lot of times, you know, it's very hard. Who can talk about his temptation? Who can show that he is vulnerable or could be tempted? That's amazing that the Lord show us that he is tempted. He didn't give in to temptation. He didn't sin. And it was written in the Bible that Jesus overcame every and each single one of them, every and each temptation. But he was tempted. That's the fact. He was tempted with three things and with three temptations. One of the most amazing feelings you can feel is when you win over a temptation. When you're tempted so hard to do something and it's not the right thing. And when you win over this temptation, it's a great feeling. It's victory. It's actually one of the most amazing times in our lives when we feel like we could be normal human beings. We could be accepted by God. And we love that. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen often. Other times, we give in to temptation. And we feel very heavy. And we feel very down that we are given into this temptation. We give in and we fall into temptation. Very, very hard. And we deal with it differently. But you got to know that the devil's favorite part here when you give in to temptation, not the temptation itself, but teasing you after the temptation, rubbing it in, telling you, did you do that? See, you fell. I told you. You can never do it. You will never be able to do it. The devil is never happy just by the sin. His goal is not for people to sin, but for people to lose hope, to be hopeless. That you, after giving in, say, there's no hope in me. I'm not going to do it again. I'm just might as well, instead of just fighting, that I give in before even starting. And a lot of people, after actually giving in or falling into any kind of temptation, they just leave things loose. And they give in completely. And that's not right. And the Lord gave us this example today in order to encourage us and in order to help us in that. Because we are going to be tempted. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted three times, that means that we are going to be tempted every single day in our lives. No day will pass without temptation. Or else, why do we pray every single day saying, lead us not into temptation? God asked us to pray and say, lead us not into temptation. Meaning temptations will come, but help us, Lord, not to give in to these temptations. Are you aware of that or not? Because some people might think that they are not tempted. And I'm afraid that this thought is not accurate at all. And there is so many traps that the devil is putting for you. And you are tempted already without you knowing. Good news is that the Lord is giving us the victory in him today. And showing us great victory over the devil. Since Adam came, no one stood against him in all the temptations like this. Maybe I can win over one. Maybe I can win over the second temptation. But the three of them, and as you will see now, that the three temptations the Lord was tempted with, This actually sums up all the temptations that we fall into in this world. God doesn't want us to give in. God wants us to be victorious. A lot of times around this Sunday, we call this Sunday of temptation, find a lot of people being tempted. A lot of people losing hope. And I tell them, isn't it a coincidence that today is the Sunday of temptation, telling you is Jesus himself was tempted. If you gave in once, it's not the end of the world. Every single day you will be tempted. He won once. There is a million battle coming up next day and next week and next year. We're going. If you gave in once and you fell, tell him you won once. But I will win with God's grace for the rest. I will not give in. I will not give in to hopelessness. Maybe I gave in today, but it's not the end of the world. Never when you fall into temptation, think, that's it. Why? Because there will be always temptations. There are always chances. But don't give up after that. The problem here is that we focus too much on ourselves. And that makes us fall. It's exactly someone is looking at his feet. Have you seen something like this? If you look at your feet, can you walk properly? No. Just try it and you know, it's not good. You can never walk straight if you just focus and stare at yourself or at your feet. But we need to shift the focus on him. And that's what the Lord is going to teach us today with the three temptations. What are these temptations? What are we tempted with in this world? Actually, the temptations of the world, the Lord today sums up the temptation of this world. And it's actually written in the Epistle of St. John, where he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Three temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. In practical words, to understand it, I want a taste. I want to enjoy. Number two, I want to have pride of the eye. I look at something, I want to have this. I'd like to live this life. And the third one, I want to be. I want to be a great person. I want to be someone like to be remembered in history. Or someone great, or someone that people look up to. And so on. The Lord was tempted with these three temptations as the following. The first one, lust of the flesh, is the bread. You're hungry? Why don't you pray over this stone, it becomes bread. Lust of the flesh. Be good. Fasting, your body needs it. And the second, the lust of the eyes, he showed him the world and its glory. See all this world, see all these kingdoms, it will be yours. It will be your own. You have full control over it. Because the devil is the prince of this world. And that's the lust of the eye. And the pride of life, when he told you, how about if you become a great person, even greater than Elijah? Elijah was taken by a chariot of angels or chariots of fire. How about if you fly? And angels carry you. What do you think? Nobody did that before. Aren't you going to be great? People are going to look up to you and say, whatever you're going to say, people are going to listen to you. But the Lord won every and each one of them, and he's teaching us how to win over these temptations. The first one is the lust of the flesh. I want to taste. I want to enjoy the desires. And it comes so strong that you feel like you can't live without it. Whether it's food, whether it's sexual desires, lusts and looks, laziness, desiring to be rested and having things, drinking, or shisha, it's part of the lust of the flesh also. We're going to talk about this. Anything that feels good and give some kind of enjoyment. And it comes very strong that people sometimes feel that I cannot live without it. And believe it or not, you might think you don't have this, but if you search deep down, you might find it. For the very first time, I decided during Lent to give up sweets. Not only for spiritual reasons, like maybe 20% spiritual reasons, but 80% for health reasons, because I don't want to be diabetic anymore. So I want to give up, or I wanted to give up sweets. And I thought this is going to be very easy, because I always thought that I'm a trash can. I can eat anything. You put any food in front of me, I can eat it. But I discovered that I wasn't, and I discovered that it was very hard. And I said, why did I do this to myself? Lent is hard by itself. Why do I add something to make it harder? And I doubted if this is something good or right. See, we're all tempted. Never thought in my life that this is some... I now think that dessert and sweets are something life-threatening. Like if you don't have it, like you could lose part of your brain, you can't function well. The other day I was like fainting in the liturgy, and I said, I think this is because of the lack of sugar in my blood. I need to have more sugar. And I try to come up with excuses every day to get back to that. The desire comes very strong, as I said, that it becomes part of life. And you won't notice it. Does that mean that God doesn't want us to enjoy? Absolutely not. That's not true. God wants us to enjoy, but to have balance. When you can stop this at any minute, when he tells you to stop this right away, no problem. I can do it. That no one takes control over me and over my system and over my body and over my brain. Nothing can take control over me. And also, God wants us to know that there is other enjoyment in the world other than the sweets or the shisha or these things. There is other enjoyment in this world that he wants us to enjoy. That's why he answered the devil and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Basically, what God is trying to say is, why do you enjoy these things more than you enjoy me? And you enjoy my word in you. Why don't you try it? You tasted something and it was nice and you got addicted to it and it's good for you and you can't live without it. Why don't you do this with the word of God? Basically, that I need God's word just the same way as I need food. I need God's word just as I need food. God wants us to taste him and to enjoy him. And actually, that's a great exercise for you during Lent. Especially sometimes when you're tempted so hard, you're fasting and you can't do it. Just try to taste of God's word and see how sweet this is. And see if it could be really a replacement for other enjoyment or not. Basically, God is trying to tell you and tell me, if now there is no enjoyment and I'm the only thing you have, will you enjoy it still? Or your life would stop because you can't have any more? And God's word will help us so much in order to fight temptations. In general, St. Paul called it here the sword of the Spirit. He said, in your fight, in your battle, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There is nothing more powerful in fighting temptations and fighting the devil and fighting the wars that's against us by the devil except for the word of God. He can never resist that. It has power in it. And as I said, it's something that I cannot explain, but it's something you taste. It's something you experience. That's why it's something should be tasty for us. If you are tempted physically, I want to say if you are tempted, when you are tempted, because you will be tempted. You need to taste more of God's word. Jesus is offering us the solution today. Just focus, switch the focus from yourself and your need and your desires on Him. Can He be a replacement for you or not? Just taste. Try this out. You will be as full as you allow God to fill you with His word. The more you are rich with God's word, the more you don't have need for anything. And you will find yourself having self-control beyond measure. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a gift from God. There is nothing I can tell you today to make you have more self-control over what you do. There's nothing more than and stronger than the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It makes your spirit stronger and can battle the flesh much stronger. But sometimes we suffer from famine. As God said, not a famine for bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. We are in a famine. We are tempted so much, and we are so weak in front of temptations because we are so hungry for God's word, and we never satisfy this hunger. I'm telling you the truth. We are in a famine right now. We are in a famine for the word of God. Examine your experience and your taste of God's word and see how much it is it. I think you will find that we are really in a famine. And you here you're asking God to give you self-control and to make you win over temptation. It's very hard. That's why St. Paul said here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We are fasting this season. Less food, less quantity, and of course less quality. But is there a replacement with the word of God, or we are in a famine? Famine for the word of God and for bread, both of them. I hope not. And I hope we can taste how good the Lord is. If you, whenever you are tempted with any temptation of the flesh, I really advise you to do what the Lord asked us to do today. Is man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Second temptation is the lust of the eyes. You look at something, I want to have this. That's why the devil showed him, and it says here, showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. Shows you the big things in the world. How about if you have like this family and this house? Look at these people. How come they have everything? How come they have everything? Nice cars and has all the gadgets, the brand new gadgets and the Bluetooth, you know, built in, and the GPS and all these things that are tempting for some people. For some people, they have this temptation. When they look at something, wow, I think if I have this car or this phone, it will solve all of my problems. I will be able to visit the people even though I don't have time. I will be able to prepare better. I will be able to manage my time better if I have this. We all fall into this temptation with knowing or without knowing. It's called the lust of the eyes because it's coming from seeing. If we don't see anything, believe me, we won't lust over anything. If we don't see anything. So what's the solution here? Get blind. Not really, but get blinded by the light of God. That I can see His light. It's like when you're seeing like the sun shining right in front of you, in front of your face, and you cannot see anything else. It's like have this shining light of God, seeing Him, that makes anything else and everything else nonsense and not worth it. Is this real? Does this really happen? Yes. I can give you just a taste of that, and I can tell you when we tasted that recently. 2 days ago, Friday night, we had all night prayer. It was beautiful. amazing, we really were in heaven. When you go out, you want to eat? No. Do you want to have anything? No, I don't want anything. If there is like dollar bills or whatever, gold on the street, I wouldn't pick it up. First, I'm too tired to pick it up. But second, I don't want it. I taste something much, much, much better. Much sweeter. Much greater. Who cares about that? But our eyes sometimes, they are hungry for anything. Anything new. Anything good. Could lust over anything we could see. Because it's not filled with the light of God. Jesus answered the devil in this temptation and said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you should serve." Basically, you solve the lust of the eye with focusing on him, staring at him, filling your eyes with him. How much do we fill our eyes with him? How long are our prayers? You know why we felt that after all night prayer? Because we had enough time to sit with him and stare at him. But the prayers we have, I tell you the truth, the easiest way to make it is like snacking. It's like living on snacks all the time. Where is the lengthy prayer that you're still there until you experience God, until you see him? See, the psalm that was read today was beautiful, and it's actually coming like with the theme of the retreat, where it says, "I have diligently sought your face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not turn your face away from me." What is this? Is he really seeing God's face? What do you think? Yes or no? Not physically he's seeing his face, but he is filled in the time of prayer. He has enough time to serve and worship him that he doesn't want to look at anything else, that nothing in this world will be greater or stronger or satisfying more than him. And that's actually the purpose of our campaign, is leaving, is not focusing on ourselves, but focusing on him. Sometimes I focus on these things too much. What I have and what I don't have, and I want to analyze. But I think all what we need is just to spend more time with him in worshiping him and in serving him. And this will overcome that temptation. A lot of people tempted with materialism still want to have these things. I see something, I want to have it. Feel there is something empty. Something is not complete. That means we have lack of worship. That we don't have enough of him. It means that we want to say, we want to seek your face, Lord. And we want to find you. Stare at him through worship and serving him. That really he is your treasure. Love this psalm where it says, "Blessed is the man whose strength in you." Actually, the right translation is, "whose treasure is in you." "Tubahum unas izzahum bika." That's the translation. Blessed is the man whose strength in you, whose pride is in you, whose the greatness is you, nothing else. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Their face is just directed towards you. Last one is the temptation or the pride of life. "I want to be." Where the devil took him and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Throw yourself, they carry you, you're going to fly. And people say, "Hey, this is the greatest prophet ever. We want to be like him. We want to follow him wherever he's going." It's like you and me saying, "I want to be like so and so." he's cool, or she's nice? How come she's pretty and smart at the same time? How come he is successful and spiritual at the same time? I want to be like him. I want to be like this. I want to be like my boss. I want to be that successful. I want to be a president. Anyone could be president these days. Anyone wants to be a president, just go ahead and apply these days. You could be taken. Don't worry about it. Or, when I go to pray for some people, and I know my prayers are weak, and I say, I wish I'm like Pope Carolus. So put my hands on them, they're healed. Yeah, I care about people and I want them to be healed. But I want to be great also. Part of me wants to be something great and important and big. Temptation. I see a lot of people asking for that, where God says, no. You're not going to be like so and so. You're going to be like yourself, and that's it. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. Why do you want to be like other people? And a lot of people waste their lives just trying to be like people that they are not. Waste their life, waste their time, waste God's plan. Why don't you just trust what God has for you? That this is perfect for you. Not only it's good, not only it's great or excellent, but it's perfect for you. It's fitting you so much. And you can never be anyone else. Why don't you accept that? You'll be much, much, much happier. God said, I want you to be faithful in the little, and I'll make you faithful over many things. You're that little? That's good. Be faithful in the little you have. Have less responsibilities? That's fine. You're not important at all? You're just that important? That's fine. Be faithful in what you have, and I'll make you faithful over many. Be thankful and grateful, and we'll go to the next step. But I see a lot of people going in so many detours. A lot of people live without living what God wants them to live. Why? Because they want to live something else. They want to live a dream that is not real and that's not for them. It's a temptation. And the solution for this temptation, as the Lord said to the devil, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What tempt? Is you should trust him. You should never lose your trust in him. You should trust his plan for you. If his plan for you to walk, then you walk, or maximum you can run, but you cannot fly. The news is, you will never ever in your life fly. You have to accept that. You have to accept the situation. You have to accept what God gave you and be thankful. And from there, you're going to grow according to his purpose, according to his plan. And his plan is very beautiful and it's very fitting for you, and it will make you happiest. Nothing else, anything else, will never make you as happy and as fulfilled as God's plan. But I get tempted every day when I see smarter people, see people prettier than me. What do? I turn to him and I tell him, Lord, I'm not tempting you. I trust you. I trust your plan. That what you gave me is the best, and the plan you have for my life is the best plan. So in conclusion, the three temptations is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I want to taste. But the solution is to taste him in his word. An advice for anyone who's tempted with the temptation of the flesh. And the second one, the lust of the eyes that I want to have. Look at something and it's good to the eyes. Stare at him. You have a problem lustful looks or with porn or anything like this, you really need to fill your eyes with God. Our time of prayer so short that we don't get anything. We leave our prayers before we even get to be in His presence. Not even staring at His face before even getting in His presence. And the third one is the pride of life, that I want to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I need to trust Him that is the best thing for my life is to be what He wants me to be. This time is the time to be honest with ourselves, examine our hearts, and really give any temptations to Him. Just realize there is a temptation and give it to God. And switch the focus really on Him. This time is the time, there's no food, there is nothing fun to do, but there is things that are more fun, which is, as I said, spending more time with Him, is eating Him during this time, focusing on Him, seeking His face exactly as the psalm said, and as the campaign. I really pray that you enjoy this time of Lent and you really get to experience Him, that we may win over all our temptations. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.